This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Here's McLeod. Quick pass. Quick shot. Scores! Left into McLeod of dust. 88 miles an hour on that one. Right in front. Scores! Jason Zucker! Byram keeps it. Up high. 15 seconds. It's scores! Rasmus Dahlin! The captain buries it! We're tied with 13.6 seconds to go! Quinn holds it! Scores! Tuck works in! Scores! What a move! Lukanen one-on-one. Dorfiev stopped by Lukanen. Sabres win!
That's off a home win in a shootout against Vegas. The road trip begins tonight. A four-gamer for the Sabres. They will take on the Bruins, featuring Henry Jokiharju and Casey Mittelstadt. And the only question is, which team is more Irish on St. Paddy's Day? Because you need the luck on your side on this particular day.
Well,
don't you, Marty?
I'll tell you this, Duffer. When we went to Bella's event on Saturday night, the belted out contest, which is like right at the, you know, it's the pew, but it's right there in the edge.
Just say South Buffalo.
South Buffalo. If you went past the show at Shea Seneca, you were in the middle of Irish South Buffalo celebration. And I'm going to say that alone will make South Buffalo, probably more Irish, just because it was, man, was it beautiful outside Saturday? People out in the street and enjoying the St. Paddy's celebration. That's why we're wearing green today, Duffer, because, well, you got the orange and green, which I love the Bandits look to it. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think I'm going to give Buffalo the edge on this one tonight.
Good.
Despite all the injuries and new players coming in, and why not? Let's take it to Boston.
If it's the third meeting of the season series, and just as fair warning to the audience, we won't be wearing green in our studio tonight.
Nope.
It's a very good reason for that, but we're indulging right now. The temperature here stinks. I get it. It's still the middle of March, but today was awful. Like, dusting
of snow. Give it 48 hours, Duffer.
Oh, I know. I know.
You'll be wearing shorts and a t-shirt in 48 hours.
Yesterday, the high was 72.
And the real feel in the middle of the afternoon was 32. I'm like, what is going on? So anyway, all that aside, it's the third meeting of the year. Home team has won both so far. So Buffalo tries to interrupt that tonight. Before we get to best and worst of the weekend, much later in the show, I'm going to divulge my best right now.
Ooh.
Tampa 21, Boston 0. That was the shots on goal in the second period of the lightning rout of the Bruins 6-2.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I had been there.
Yeah, look, when the Boston Bruins traded Brad Marchand and Charlie Coyle and, you know, Brent Carlo, and they made some moves, they had a couple of really good responses right after. They beat Florida 2-0. They beat Tampa. And then they had a bad one against the Ottawa Senators, and Jeremy Swayman wasn't good in that game. And then the team didn't show up against Tampa, and Swayman still gave up 4, but it was on 38 shots. Mm-hmm. I think this Bruins team of the last two games is probably more what you should expect than what they did against Florida and Tampa. And that's why I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, I mean, yes, there won't be any Paterka in the game tonight. He was back on the ice today, but he's not ready to get back in game action. There won't be Josh Norris. He's not on the ice yet. There won't be Yuri Kulik. He's not on the ice after taking that big hit on Saturday. Howden's clean hit. Look, I know people are going to say it hit the head. Yes, it hit the head, but the head can be hit if it's a full body on body hit. And you know, it wasn't avoidable. Yuri lowered himself trying to get through. Howden timed it perfectly. If you want to have a debate as to, Ken Dryden always says, all hit to the head should be outlawed. Well, okay, we can have that debate. But right now, we still want physicality in the game. And the rule book is set in the way. Mm-hmm. And this was not a penalty. And the Sabres responded. But anyway, no Paterka, no Norris, no Kulik. Which means, well, Brett Murray's been called up. Isaac Rosanne's been called up. I don't think he's going to play tonight. So new bodies in the lineup with Murray for sure.
And it's concerning, but there's, you know, with Norris, obviously, not on the ice today. And not playing, of course, on Saturday versus Vegas. The hope is he'll be back on the ice later in the week. And then, you know, perhaps at some point you get him into the lineup on this trip. I don't know for sure. Obviously, it's Utah Thursday and then back-to-back afternoon games on Saturday and Sunday.
Let me ask you this question, Duffer.
Yeah.
Now that the Sabres have said it's a mid-body injury for Josh Norris, should the NHL basically put parameters onto, okay, if it's an ankle, a leg, a knee, that's lower body. If it's a hip, a core, a back, that's mid-body. If it's shoulders, hands, elbow, head, that's an upper body. Like, I think there should be, I think we're trending towards that, right? Like, football does it so well. It's hamstring, it's shoulder, it's back. Like, they detailed it. Mm-hmm. I think the league's going towards that, but now we know Josh Norris is a mid-body, which, you know, with the shoulder issues that he's had over the career, it releases my worries a little bit, knowing that it's not a shoulder injury, that all of a sudden he just got to the Sabres and we're dealing with shoulders again. But I think lower, mid, upper, it could be a nice transition into being more upfront with the injuries. No?
I've wanted more clarity on this forever, so there's nothing there's nothing new to report from my side. And I think, I don't know, for at least two, if not three seasons, many people have been saying that since betting sites have become the norm, that this needs to be a more clarified, detailed event from all teams. But
goalie injuries.
The Sabres just played the least informative team in the league, the league that holds back every single detail in Vegas. You can't even find stuff in their notes because they don't put it in there. So, yeah, it is. It is what it is. It's just for me, and it's a very fair and relevant question, Marty. I'm just disappointed for Norris. Like, I think I don't know if you've been getting this since he was acquired by Buffalo, but just get a lot of people reaching out saying, "Hey, like, you know, really, really, really talented player, incredible person. And that's nice when it's unsolicited, right? Mm-hmm. You just, and we got a firsthand introduction to him last week on Sabres Live. Great. Again, same type of thing, like willing conversationalist. And that says something, I think, given all he's gone through health-wise. So I'm just bummed that he's not in the mix.
And
I
can't wait till the fans get to see him in the community and get to meet him, get to know him, right? Like, we're going to have probably another one of those fan fests next year in training camp. And, you know, we've done it many times. And you get to ask him questions, get him to sign autographs, talk to him. I think people are going to really appreciate Josh Norris, but you're right. Like, he comes in, you know, he performed well.
Yeah,
It's not like he didn't perform, but we didn't get to see enough of him getting going. And I thought him and Thompson, apart from the first game where they had Thompson on the left and Tuck on the right, mm-hmm. but Norris with Paterka and Thompson looked good. Right. And then, so I'm like, the game against the Oilers, he showed some hustle. I'm disappointed because we're not seeing it right now, but as long as I'm okay, not worrying about his shoulder right now, I think I'm doing good with it.
I think the other part of it is, since you started this line of conversation a little while ago, what is it going to look like on opening night next year? The center position now is just crazy affected by all of this, right? Yep. Norris isn't there. Kulik's not there. Thompson's back off the wing and in the middle, right? So it's just, it's kind of hard to know. And it's fine. I mean, these can be positive things in the long run too, as far as learning more about players. And obviously you would have wanted these games to have a little bit more impact, to say the least, in importance. But what is the biggest takeaway for you from the Vegas game that applies to the start and hopefully the continuation of this road trip?
The response. It was the response in many different ways. You're down to nothing. The response with McLeod getting a goal right away. Cooley gets hit. The response, right? Greenway and Kolasar. There was a response there. Look, you talked about who is going to be more Irish tonight in Boston. I feel like we got the luck of the Irish on Saturday because we were celebrating St. Paddy's Day and everybody was. But you're down 3-2, you pull your goalie, and Tomas Hertl decide to want to look for Jack Eichel instead of putting it in the empty net. It could have easily been a 4-2 game, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, you didn't beat Vegas. Instead, you turn around, Dalian scores, and you win the shootout. But in all of that, right, give credit where credit is due. Peyton Krebs back check on Hertl allowed Hertl to make a bad play. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if Peyton Krebs is like, that's it. Like, he just lets him go. Mm-hmm. Hertl probably finds Jack and Jack scores. And then all of a sudden you have Eichel with two goals and Sabres lose. But there was an effort and there was a response. And that was, for me, the takeaway. Man, it was so funny listening to Bruce Cassidy yesterday, Duffer. They lose 3-0 to Detroit. He was still so sour about the game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He was, after the game, he was like, we gave one away. We gave one away yesterday, and today was a scheduled loss. He used that word. You remember when you look at the schedule? He goes, today was a scheduled loss. Back-to-back against a team that's fighting for their playoffs life right now, that's a scheduled loss, and we lost it. But we needed to win yesterday. We needed to put yesterday in the bank, and we didn't do it. It was hilarious when he was still sour about the game on Saturday.
Yeah, lack of respect is what he deemed it. After Saturday's game.
With Hertl, basically saying,
well, no,
you think it's...
But he was talking in two areas. Specifically Hertl, yes. But let's not forget, like, Buffalo basically doubled Vegas in shots in the game. So there were concerns for Cassidy throughout the entirety of this thing. And most importantly, you just referenced it, the response from Buffalo after going down 2-0. He hated what happened in that situation, and that's understandable. But
he also didn't like the Dorofeev penalty in the third period, right? It was a trip against Clifton. He put his stick there, and he didn't like that. Why, well, that allowed Jason Zucker to score on the power play, so, you know, and make it 2-2. So that he didn't like Dorofeev's penalty. He didn't like the Hertl. He said the lack of respect, 100%.
Yeah. So tonight, it's Buffalo-Boston. Third meeting of the year. They'll have one more back in Buffalo. And obviously, the Bruins have dropped two in a row. The Sabres are trying to make it 3 wins in 4 and start this trip in the right fashion. There is obviously a ton to discuss elsewhere. So unless you have anything else specific, and you've laid it out pretty nicely as far as what the roster is going to look like tonight. And by the way, unless I'm wrong, 6:30 pregame coverage tonight on MSG, as I read the fine print on the ticker. It's amazing. It's taken me 3 years to figure out that that information is usually on the screen and I can just look at it instead of begging, you know, producer Jeff to inform. But yeah, nothing is obvious, Marty, to me.
Nothing is ever obvious. Hey, okay, so here's...
Oh, breaking news, though.
Breaking news. Go ahead.
I think people need to be alerted of this to adjust accordingly, that 4+ months from now, you will not be on the show. In late July.
July 28th. Yes, yeah. July 28th. I've already scheduled a day off for a golf event. So
if you're a big calendar guy, I want you to mark it right now.
Mark that. Mark that. I like how you're looking ahead. You're right. About 3.5 months from now, 4 months from now, where I'm going to be off. So that's good. Okay. Sabres are at Boston tonight. We're going to have plenty of what the game, the matchups on the pregame. So tune in at 6:30. I feel like the lead, maybe not the lead item, but one of the lead item we're going to be following for the rest of the year is the great chase. Alex Ovechkin is 8 away now from passing Wayne Gretzky. So what did I do this morning, Duffer?
You looked at the schedule to remind yourself how many games Ovechkin has before he plays Buffalo.
Absolutely. So
the answer is?
5.
Yes.
He has 3 home games, which if I'm Ovi, I want to score so much at home. So I would hope that he has at least 5 or 6 goals in the next 5 games. And he gets to play Buffalo with 2 goals from passing Gretzky or a hat trick from passing Gretzky, right? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a stretch? 100%. But
not
this,
that much.
It's not that much. He could have a hat trick tomorrow, tomorrow night against Detroit. And he could score 2 or 3 against Philly on Thursday. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, he may not get to Buffalo. He may pass Gretzky before, but March 30th, the Sabres are in Washington, a 3 p.m. afternoon game. So is there a chance that Ovi and Wayne are both in the building ready to pass the torch? Mm-hmm. I think there's a chance. I'm going to be looking at it for sure.
I would agree. And I mean, not that the Capitals have any issues in sharing the puck this year, but and it's post-trade deadline, so they can't. But acquiring Thomas Hertl and his giving nature might have been really helpful for Ovechkin at this point in time. But
you are 100%. Although everybody on the ice always looks for Ovechkin with the empty net, so that the other day Ovechkin returned a favor to Alexei Protas for his hat trick. So
yeah, that's good plus on minus leader in the NHL, Alexei Protas. So beyond what is going to be his first 30 goal season, like he is, and again, you take that statistic nowadays for what it's worth, but you can't have a number like that unless you're being very, very, very responsible, which is what the Capitals have been, which is what has allowed them to be top 3 in goals against. All the things that we talk about that need to be talked about beyond Ovechkin's great chase. Like, what makes Washington so good that has allowed Ovechkin to have this success this year? It's really remarkable. I don't think the Capitals still get nearly enough credit for what they've done.
I think the fact that the Washington Capitals are relevant in winning is making this so much better. I 100%. Don't think Ovi would have gotten to 20 goals this year if the Washington Capitals were not good. Because it's hard. It's heavy. You're losing. And then you don't get the empty netters, or you don't get the excitement of scoring late in the game when the game is tied. Or there's so much that is working with Ovi right now that makes all of this so much fun. But I did say tomorrow night, the Detroit Red Wings are in Washington. So I'm asking you, who will be in net for Detroit tomorrow night, knowing that Peter Mrazek has played all 3 of the last 3 Detroit Red Wings game? Like, what is going on in Detroit right now?
pretty obvious. That's why they acquired him, a former Red Wing, and they won, and he's won two out of three after the club had lost six in a row. So I don't think there's a question here, unless there's a catch to this that I'm not.
Well, the catch is that Cam Talbot was doing well. The Detroit Red Wings were in a playoff spot or close to. Yeah. Alex Lyon as a backup's doing well. Like, I thought maybe they're bringing Mrazek more as a insurance policy and doing Mrazek a favor because he was not going to play much in Chicago. It was going to be Spencer Knight and Soderblom. So I'm looking at Mrazek going to Detroit as a, in case something happens.
Yeah.
And then he plays three games in a row and he looks like he's their number one goalie.
Yeah. Again, I just think six losses in a row dictates all of this. And, and he got in.
Very
and,
true.
And, yeah. But anyway, I mean, the Wings, you know, you look at the Eastern Conference standings and how it has changed over the past week. Even with Detroit getting two wins in the last three, they're still very much hampered by that six-game slide. And now Columbus has joined them in losing five out of six and being shut out three times in the last five games and falling out of the top two wild card positions. But the Rangers stubbed their toe yesterday against the Oilers. So, yes, they are in wild card two right now, but they only have 14 games remaining. And essentially the hottest team, save for Ottawa, which is now setting their sights well above wild card one, Montreal is the hottest. They're 7-1-2. The only regulation loss in the 7-1-2 stretch, a 1-0 decision in Calgary. Yep. Like, it's crazy how this team is picking up points, and now they've got two games in hand on the Rangers, and they're only 1 point behind.
Biggest game of the year for the Montreal Canadiens, probably tomorrow night. They host the Ottawa Senators. So you think about it. Ottawa is 4 points back of the Toronto Maple Leafs for third in the Atlantic. They beat the Leafs over the weekend, and it was a big game. And I'm looking at Ottawa. Well, I get that wild card would be great if you're the Ottawa Senators. But can you imagine if the Sens were to catch the Maple Leafs? Like, how the province of Ontario would fall on their head tomorrow morning if that, well, the morning after it happens. But look, Linus Ullmark has played well. He's not had to be in the savior. Like, I look at his numbers and it's okay. Like, his save percentage over the last 4 or 5 games is not, he made a big save diving last week, you know, and that was great. He's been good. But I think this team has Jake Sanderson playing extremely well. Batherson's playing extremely well. They've got a lot of guys that are stepping up right now. David Perron's return has helped them a lot. Mm-hmm. So that definitely changes things.
Yeah, I think their depth guys like Amadio, Perron have started to really show why they were brought in. I will say this, though, and regardless of whether it's Ullmark directly, I do believe there's an Ullmark influence here.
No.
The Senators defeated Toronto in all three meetings this year, and they allowed only 3 goals against. And there is only one team that Linus Ullmark despises in the NHL, and it is the Toronto Maple Leafs. So when he was willing to move to Ottawa from Boston, you know that this was a big thing for him. It's unfortunate they only played 3 games in the regular season and not the 4 that it could have been. But you get the idea here of just, this is important for Ottawa to have a big pushback against a team like Toronto. But now they've won 6 in a row. They're 7-0-1 in the last 8. And for the, at least this week, they've alleviated any concerns of falling out of a wild card position.
There was also rumors when Boston Bruins were shopping Linus Ullmark that, maybe Toronto should acquire Linus Ullmark. And I remember you joking, maybe on the show or off the air, there's no way Linus is going to Toronto. Absolutely zero chance. He hates the Leafs. Yeah. Well, if you're going to hate the Leaf and you want to make a difference, you're going to play for the Sabres because there's that rivalry, right? 2 hours down the road. Ottawa, the Battle of Ontario, Montreal, because the Leafs-Canadian rivalry. Yes. You know, I mean, those are the teams they're going to go to, and Ottawa's was a great landing spot for him.
Yeah, it really was. Even though he's, you know, obviously battled a little bit to stay in the lineup. He's in good form right now. We have a lot
to
get to.
The New York Islanders have decided not to, like, quit either, by the way. Down 2-0 to Florida yesterday. They come back with 3 goals in a matter of 3.5-4 minutes, and they win. And now you look at the New York Islanders, and you're like, you're only 4 points back.
I know.
With 2 games in hand on the Rangers.
The Bruins, for all their, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I won't even say it, but yeah. And yeah, so not that this was an announcer jinx or a broadcast jinx, but I looked up at Florida and the Islanders as Florida was leading 2-0. And it was a close-up of Vitek Vanacek, and it said he's 41 for 41 as a Florida Panther, has not allowed a goal, because of course he shut out Buffalo in his first game. And then all of a sudden I was not paying attention, and then it was 2-1 and 2-2 and 3-2 and then an empty. I was like, well, this is unfortunate for Vitek. But
what did you say the shots on goal were? The Boston, Tampa,
40-12 in the game, 21-0 for the Lightning in the second period.
Well, I was surprised yesterday that the New York Islanders outshot the Florida Panthers 12-1 in the first period, because the Islanders are not a team that usually outshoot teams 12-1. But they played well defensively. Obviously, they didn't give much to the Florida Panthers.
Panthers are losers of 3 of 4. Yeah. So far on this 6-game road trip. So again, what does that mean? Well, it means Toronto missed an opportunity to get closer, and it means that Tampa still feels like they're very much alive and chasing down that top spot as well. So we have a ton to get to. By the way, it's Korpisalo in goal for the Bruins tonight. He did defeat the Sabres earlier this year in the one meeting in Boston. Buffalo took advantage of Jeremy Swayman in the return engagement in Buffalo. So, but to just continue the Eastern Conference theme here before we take our first break, Carolina remains the hottest team in the league. They've won 7 in a row. Which former Sabre has been the hottest goal scorer for the Canes since being acquired?
Taylor Hall.
No. Mark Jankowski has
He's been really good.
Goals
you're right.
in 4 games.
There's a lot of former Sabres there, because I was thinking Eric Robinson. I'm like, no, he was out early in the year.
Tyson Jost,
Taylor Hall. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Mark Jankowski. He scored both goals in the one game when they won.
And if you're going to, rightfully so, lump the Islanders as still in the mix, this is a stunning and unfortunate, again, 2 consecutive years, Philadelphia collapse at a time when they were in the mix. They were rolling, and even if they had had a 500 homestand, would still be in the conversation. On their season-long homestand, the Flyers just went 1-6. And 0-17 on the power play to effectively take them out of the running. But it is what it is. Pittsburgh, by the way, has won 4 in a row and are still trying to stay in the picture.
They've not scored over 3 goals in any of those games. 3-1-1-1-2. Then there was a shootout against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which put them to 4. But really, they didn't score more than 3 in any of those games.
It's crazy. And there's so much good going on in the West. And we've got Buffalo and Boston tonight. And we've also got the Bandits coming up this weekend, which is on Friday. And we also want to remind you of what's coming up as far as Sabres Pride Night is concerned. T-shirt and ticket pack is available as they take on the Penguins on March 27th. Mm-hmm. Tickets starting at just $30. For that package, visit sabres.com/pride to purchase yours today. We're back after this on a Monday installment of Sabres.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fly.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Buried the lead again.
Yeah, we did.
The real question was, is Rory McIlroy Irish? And did the PGA plan this so he could win on St. Paddy's Day this morning in the playoff?
You know what? I was a little disappointed, but I guess the TV screen kind of tricks your eyes when it comes to golf. You think it's bright outside, but they obviously can adjust the iris and make it look like it's bright.
Yes.
And they kept saying, we may not be able to go to the playoffs today because of darkness. Now, it wasn't until they interviewed JJ Spahn after that I could see all the lights were on around him to make it bright. And then you could see the sun is absolutely set. It's not even in the background anymore. Like, okay, Okay. Definitely it's too dark, but what a I don't want to call it anticlimactic kind of performance this morning, but as soon as they got to 17 and Spahn put it in the water and double bogeyed, you knew it was over. So
there's nothing anticlimactic. That's the perfect drama at the players. Like you
I wanted them to like play 17 again. Like tie after three, go back to 17.
I would have only played 17 if I'm the players. You just keep doing it. Who doesn't? It's the most legendary non-major.
The chance for disaster in three times playing that hole.
Okay,
could be awesome.
Speaking but of no, disasters.
I think you know. You mentioned green. Everybody knows. You know, I'm an iPhone guy, and we like our group pretty much is all iPhone. So when you have a group text and it's iMessage, it's blue, right? Yesterday, my phone decided to act up in a crazy way that it was sending text messages to our group, therefore creating separate text message groups. So if somebody replied to it, I had three or four groups with the same people on. Maybe it was just because it was, you know, St. Paddy's Day weekend. My phone decided to switch to green text message instead of the blue iMessage.
But was not just you. I'm quite sure everybody in the group chimed in on this. You may not have seen the messages because you might have been in your own little group.
Yes.
But I would ask the fine listeners and viewers of this show to chime in at Sabres Live if they too had unexpected issues with their messaging yesterday, because it was bizarre, to say the least.
It was very bizarre. I started Googling, why is my text messages in like RWS, I think I was, or whatever. I was like, this is so confusing. But yeah, maybe it was because of St. Paddy's Day. It was all green. It's fixed now.
We used to blame Spalding Lake Wi-Fi all the time. We're getting word now that it was Sarasota Wi-Fi that may have intruded on all of our devices. So anyway.
Sarasota Airport Wi-Fi will get you every time.
In the West, there was, and by the way, Sabres-Bruins tonight, 6:30 pregame on MSG. Hear the game, of course, with Dan and Razor, as always, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Man, there are so many emerging stories in the Western Conference. Utah has stayed in the mix with a big win over Vancouver last night. And you look at the standings and what has happened in St. Louis. Man, do I need to eat some crow on this? 9-2-2 in their last 13 to pull.
All hail Jim Montgomery.
The problem is I love Monty the whole time. I just didn't want to overdo it with the praise based on the fact that his team had done nothing for the first 2 months after his standing behind the bench. But anyway, they're even with Vancouver. The Canucks have played one fewer game, but they co-own the Wild Card 2 right now. Calgary is two back. Utah is two back. Man, do you think... And the funny thing is, like, Utah's lost four of their last seven. They're 3-2-2, and they have stayed in this mix. Do you think they can do this?
I don't. I think that...
And by the way, this is important because Utah is hosting Buffalo on Thursday.
Yeah, and Utah, I think, is going to fall a little short. For me, I don't even like... Vancouver is in that spot right now because of point percentage. But I don't like Vancouver in that spot. I think it's St. Louis or the Calgary Flames. Really, they're the two options. The Flames don't score enough. And St. Louis is going to be this team of, you know, finding the destiny from 2019 where they were last before the New Year's and they won the cup. And, you know, Does it make the coaching change even more important for St. Louis? Probably, but I don't know. They did it with Craig Berube in 2018, 2019. Maybe they do it with Jim Montgomery, at least get in the playoffs. I'm not saying they win the cup, but I think St. Louis and Calgary would be my betting favorites if I had to pick right now.
How about Braden Schenn's night? Got honored for his 1,000th game, huge ceremony, scores on the first shift, and then drops the gloves in the first period as well with Jacob Trouba. Wild.
I wasn't paying attention to that game because it was 2-0 early. It was 4-1. Like, St. Louis kind of ran away with it. Like I said, I was paying attention to the Panthers and the Islanders, the Oilers and the Rangers. That was a tight game, and, man, the Rangers, And for all the players that they have, like, I know Stuart Skinner was good last night. Great for him. But you're at home against the Oilers, a team that's trying to find themselves right now, and you let that one slip. That was a tough one. And Mikko Rantanen's return to Colorado.
What a game.
What a game. And, you know, an OT, you'd have to expect this to go to OT. You know, but Mikko Rantanen, he just looks like a different player. In green, it just looks totally different.
It does, and it was a really well-earned point by Dallas, scoring too late to get it to even, and it helps them standings-wise, even though they lost the game. You know, it was only 1 point gained by the Avalanche in the battle for essentially second and third in their division. So Colorado's rolling.
We all want that, by the way, right? We all want – I know that –
Well, Minnesota has fallen on hard times here, and understandably so, with the length of time without Kaprizov and without Erickson Ek, and they can't score. And they've watched Colorado improve dramatically post-deadline.
Is it Shayna that said she wanted Dallas and Colorado in the second round, or she wanted a battle of Florida in the second round? She didn't want it in the first round. And look, I'm in the camp that I don't care when it happens. We're not guaranteed to see this Dallas matchup maybe in the second round. But if it looks like we're going to get in the first round, it's pretty much locked in. Winnipeg's going to run away with the first seed in the West. It's going to be Dallas and Colorado. Just a matter of where are they going to play it. They're going to play, you know, started in Colorado, started in Dallas. I am so excited about this playoff matchup. It's going to be great.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that they're not going to catch Winnipeg, because the Jets still continue to deserve more bouquets being thrown their way. And our friend Eric Comrie got the win last night against Seattle. So he's back to 500 on the year. And this might be the cruelest stat in the league, that a team that's so good could have him at 500. His goals against is 2.39 and his save percentage is 914. Like, he has literally done everything you could ask on the back of a guy like Hellebuck, who's going to win probably 45 or more games, play 60 or more games. And most of if Bruce Cassidy called yesterday's game in Vegas, or pardon me, in Detroit, a scheduled loss, then what do you think Eric Comrie has been up against this year?
All scheduled loss, all year.
100%.
Back-to-back, on the road, you're like, let's mark that one off. And he's been great, and good for him. I think him going back to Winnipeg was, let's go back where I feel comfortable. It reminds me a lot of when I signed with the Rangers. Benoit Allaire was the goalie coach there. Torts was the coach. I felt like I was, like, where I started to a certain extent, because I used to go to Benoit Allaire's goalie camp when I was a kid and teenager. And Torts was here in Buffalo when I got drafted. My first rookie game was Torts coaching. And I felt like, I'm back to a familiar kind of look, even though it was a new team. Eric Comrie went back to a familiar team to feel good about himself again. Won the job out of training camp. It wasn't just given to him. Mm-hmm. And he's played well. And look, there's another chase. You talk about Connor Hellebuck. He's chasing the all-time win record in a season. Yep. 48 is Braden Holtby and Marty Brodeur. Mm-hmm. Do you play him so he can get his 49th, or do you just start to ease the games right now? Hellebuck wants to play all the time. He wants to play 65 games a year. But it may be better for you to just start slowing the machine down a little bit.
Hellebuck has 39 wins currently. His goals against is now sub 2 at 1.99.
That's crazy.
The save percentage, 927, and 6 shutouts, all of which lead the league. However, The number two man in most categories now, save for wins, on the heels of back-to-back shutouts, is Darcy Kuemper.
Yeah.
Kemper's return to LA has produced a 2.16 goals against and a 919 save percentage. Mm. And LA has won five in a row. They have points in 12 straight at home. They still have only three regulation losses at home. And Quinton Byfield has scored a goal in six consecutive games. That is one shy of the league high this year. It is remarkable what the Kings have done so far.
Yeah, no, this Kings team is different. And if they are to play the Edmonton Oilers in the first round, it will not be the same thing that happened the last 3 years. I think it will be maybe the results will be the same. Who knows, right? But I think the look of this series will not be the same. It's funny, though, because the Kings are so good defensively. Darcy Kuemper, despite the fact that he's second in a lot of categories, when you look at regular numbers, he's 12th in the league in goals saved above expectation. Mm-hmm. And if I was to ask you right now, Connor Hellebuyck is number one. Logan Thompson is number two. Number three is interesting to me because his regular number are not high popping right now.
Is he in the Western Conference?
He's in the Eastern Conference. And
is he on a playoff team?
He's on a bubble team.
He's got a Shesterkin finally back in there?
No, Shesterkin is probably a little lower. Look, yeah. I'm going to see. He's fourth. And okay. Dostal is fifth. And, Dostal's had a good year, although last game wasn't good. But Samuel Montembeau is third.
I should have guessed that because you've been really pushing him all year, and I should have paid attention.
But he's only
to that.
A 901 save percentage and a 283 goals against average. It's not, what Kuemper and Hellebuyck are doing. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that they've even played Dobesh more than they thought they were going to do, but it's really helped Montembeau put quality games after quality games. He's third in the league in goals save above expectation right now.
And this, he's probably not in this conversation if you're talking about the entirety of the season, but the reason I asked, was it a Western Conference team, is because I would be curious to know where Mackenzie Blackwood is in all of this.
Let me tell you where Mackenzie Blackwood is right now. Mackenzie Blackwood is 18th. Okay. So he's worked it. He was in the 60th, right?
Right.
I thought you were going to say Karel Vemelka, who the same thing with Vemelka in Utah. He's seventh in goals save above expectation.
Amazing. Both of them have earned their extensions in Blackwood and Vemelka. But since we're on this path, the segue from Blackwood is, and this is incredible too, based on how quickly he was dispatched from Nashville. But Scott Wedgwood is 9-4 with a 2.10 and 917 save percentage. So if we're going to talk about Eric Comrie and what he has done to support the number one goalie on their team, Scott Wedgwood has had a remarkable season since going to Colorado. And they're rolling right now.
There's even been time where the announcers for the Colorado Avalanche are saying Scott Wedgwood. They're saying, nice save, Mackenzie Blackwood. It's Scott Wedgwood in net. That's how good they've been, the two of them, that you can't tell the difference when one is in the net compared to the other one.
Yeah. Well, that's almost the biggest, all the stories from the Western Conference, I would say, just to put a bow on Minnesota. They've only got one win in the last five. They've got three wins in the last 10.
Yeah.
I don't think they can slide right out of it, Marty, but I do think they're going to be hard pressed to be above five they could probably do 500 the rest of the way. I don't think they're going to be much above that. So
500 the rest of the way would get them to 94 points. In the West, 94 points is going to cut it close.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Because they're plus 12 right now. They're 37, 25, and 5. They're plus 12 at NHL 500.
Garen ripped into them more than a month ago.
Yeah.
And then they had an immediate response. But then losing Erickson Ek out of the Four Nations was just, he is one of the most underrated centers, two-way centers in the game. Mm-hmm. And they've not been able to recover yet. You, on the other hand, have had challenges post-Christmas with your voice.
Yes.
But folks, that was not the case on Saturday night. Stay with us for best and worst of the weekend. It's coming up on Sabres Live.
Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, best and worst of the weekend as we wind down Sabres Live. Don't forget, it's Boston hosting Buffalo tonight right here on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550. Marty, lead us in to Saturday night.
Listen, Saturday night, Duffer, you and I went to Bella's Belted Out Battle at the show at Seneca, Shea Seneca, and this clip is actually, I'm on the second from the left. I am singing Backstreet Boys. I'm actually not really singing. I'm the backup vocals. I'm just doing the backup vocals. But we had a good performance. It was after the competition.
Why aren't we hearing it?
You guys can't afford to put my voice on TV. It would cost you a lot of money. That's copyrighted right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did it go?
It was fantastic. The winner, she sang Shoop, and it was like incredible because no need for the screen, knew all the words and performed the heck out of that song. So yeah, it was a great competition. 10 great competitors in the event. We had only 3 compete last year, 10 this year. It was awesome.
And also happening on that night, later than Bella's Belted Out Battle, were the Bandits beating Calgary by a count of 11-6. Now, this is the second time this year that the Bandits, on the heels of a loss to the same team, have gone and beaten that team the next week. They lost at home to San Diego, went to San Diego and won. Lost at home to Calgary, went to Calgary and won. And after giving up 17 the week before, Matt Vince was truly unbelievable after they fell behind 3-1 in the first quarter. 44 saves in total. It was the Bucky and Byrne show offensively as Kyle had 3, Josh had 3, and they win and now play at home on Friday, and they are 10-2 to continue leading the NLL. So, amazing stuff. What else do you got?
Well, I'm going to go to my worst of the weekend, and because, Filip Hedl was acquired by the Vancouver Canucks in the JT Miller trade. He's had some injuries. And he's had some concussion issues. He got hit from behind by Dickinson of the Chicago Blackhawks. That's on Saturday night. And he's in concussion protocol right now. It was a bad hit. The problem I have with, sometimes things happen, but you have to respond. There was about 5 minutes left in the game when that happened. It was 6-2. He never went on the ice again. He sat on the bench and hid there. Even when Vancouver Canucks players are like, come on, step on the ice, let's go. You got to respond to your hit. They don't play again this year. That was, to me, a bit
unpenalized.
Unpenalized. Unpenalized, correct? Absolutely. Unbelievable. That was the worst of the weekend because I feel bad for Filip Hedl.
He's had some
concussion issues. Getting up, he couldn't really stand up. He fell back down.
No, and here in Buffalo, we have concerns with Yuri Kulik.
Yuri Kulik is the same thing.
And again, you can sit here and debate the hit and the standard and all the rest of it. You and I believe that it was a clean hit, but it's the result that we're concerned about. And we now await Yuri coming back in. Yuri, of course, carved his way to the NHL through Rochester. What a bounce back for the Amerks. They had a remarkable and almost mirror image game to what the Sabres produced against Vegas.
Yep.
And that was, surviving an empty net push by Providence where they missed multiple opportunities. Then they got the tying goal late and ultimately won in a shootout. So remarkable for them. They've got 3-3 coming up this weekend, going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Maybe one of the best of the weekend. Watching the Amerks in all blue is one of the best thing. That uniform is iconic, so good.
Tage Thompson, David Pastrnak, head-to-head tonight. They are tied with Alex Ovechkin for 5th in the league in goal scoring. We'll see you at 6:30.